Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We thank you that it's with us today and that we can hear your words and respond to them. And so we pray for your Holy Spirit to be at work in all of us now. It's not only here, but to understand and receive and respond in a way that glorifies Jesus. We pray this for his sake. Amen. The question I want to ask today is change enough? Is change enough? I want you to think about the biggest change you have ever made in your life. What is the biggest change? Go on, birthday boy, you can speak.
Move to Australia.
Move to Australia. Yeah. What is the biggest change that you've ever made in your life? Now, think about what is the biggest change you've ever been through. It might not be a change that you've made in your life. It may be a change that's happened to you, an event in your life. What changes have you made that have impacted your life the most? What about changes you've made that have impacted other people's lives? Things that have happened to you. Marriage, divorce, death, birth, new house or job, a church, diet. What are the sort of changes that really impact who you are? And what are the changes that happen from other people that impact you? You know, we're surrounded by change in our lives and we're always thinking about change in a worldly way and in a godly way. But the question today is change enough for the Christian? Last week we talked about the power of God working in us and through us and coming out of us. The power of God to change us. We talked about our powerlessness to change, that we need God's Holy Spirit at work in us to change us. We need to be people where Jesus dwells, where he lives, where he makes his home. People where the Holy Spirit is at work with his power. And what is that power for? Power to grasp. Power to grasp how long and wide and high and deep the love of God is through Jesus. That's what we talked about last week. The power for God to work in us in order that we can glorify God. Now, Paul asks that question. Is change enough? God's power at work in us, is he just changing us? Verse 17, chapter 4, verse 17. You must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. You must no longer live as the Gentiles do, as non-believers do, in the futility of their thinking. Paul is saying that change, it's essential for the Christian life, but it's more than just change. It's about putting off the old and putting on the new. Have a look at verse 22, Ephesians 4, verse 22. There's Bibles in front of you if you haven't got them there. I haven't got them up on the screen. Verse 22, Paul says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life, in other words, before you were a believer, your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires. To be made new in the attitude of your minds. To put off your old self, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. That's much more than change. That is putting off and putting on. That is death and life sort of language. When I was quite young, my cousin Richie was 14 years old. He died. He had cystic fibrosis. And he was sick for a long time. And it's, I don't know if you know people with cystic fibrosis or CF, it's a quite a debilitating thing to have. One in 25 people in Australia carry the gene for it and pass it on perhaps without knowing. But it's not something that has a cure. You have fibres in your lungs and throughout your body and all they can do back in those days, 30 years ago when he died, all they could do was to clean things up a bit. Putting through processes that would clean his lungs out. I know someone going through CF at the moment, and they are up to their second lung transplant. Because all they could do at the age of, in her 20s, all they can do is to clean it up a bit, and the very best, to transplant the old lungs and replace them with new. That's the best hope. So cleaning things up all the time was never enough for my cousin Richie. He lasted till he was a young boy. All they could do was to clean things up. A change in the way he lived, change in his diet, changes, cleaning up. I think sometimes as Christians we often think about those things. What do I need to change? What do I need to clean up in my life? What do I need to focus on? Whereas God says here, you need a transplant. Changes, cleaning it up is not going to work. You need to put aside your old self and be born with a new mind. A new mind. And not the sort that will be transplanted in and fail again within a few years, but a new mind that will transform the rest of your life. See, that's what comes first. The changes, the cleaning up your act, it won't work. They'll just get bad again. Things will go back to the way they were. That sick, old way of living. What God says is we need a new mind. Then we can see the changes in our life. This is the journey Paul wants to take us on. To put off our old self and to put on a new self. It's not easy to do that. Verse 24, he says, to put on the new self created to be like God. In what way are we supposed to be like God? In true righteousness and holiness. Righteousness and holiness. A new mind, so that we can then be like God in righteousness and holiness. A new self, a new mind, transplanted in us by God and the work of His Holy Spirit. Then our life can change. Think of it for a moment about the sort of clothes you wear. When was the last time you bought a new piece of clothing? And when was the last time you threw an old piece out? We're in the process, as you know, of moving house around the corner. And we've moved house, it's our eighth move. And so we're very used to going through and cleaning up things. And so my favourite is my cupboards in my room, my drawers, my clothes in them. I love going through them and throwing old stuff out. I'm one of those few men that actually throw things out before they get holes in them, sometimes. But did you do that? Did you go through your clothes every year, maybe every 23 years or so? Throw out some of the old ones. Then you think, 2 weeks later, you think, where's that shirt? Oh, no, I threw it out. I have to go and buy a new one now. That's what I do. Throw out a few things that you shouldn't throw out. Then you just have to buy new stuff. It's good to do that. But you never go through your clothes, do you, and throw it all out and then just go and buy a whole new wardrobe. I mean, that would be nice, wouldn't it? But it doesn't work like that, does it? You know, I'll just throw it all out and I'll get $3,000 and I'll buy all new undies and socks and pants and shirts and jackets and everything. And you just don't do that, do you? You go through your drawers, you go through your shirts, you throw some out. You might get one new one. You go through your pants, you throw some out and you get... That's the way it works with clothes. In our life, we don't go through and just chuck it all out and just get a whole new life. What shall I change in? What needs changing in my life? Oh, it's all a mess. I'll just chuck it all out and start again. No. We go through one drawer at a time. That's the journey that Paul wants to take us on, to allow Jesus to transplant our mind with a new mind. And then to go through, drawer by drawer, our whole life. To throw out the old ways. See, now we have the new mind. We see things fresh for the first time. You know that feeling? When you've just got a new perspective on life. When you go through those drawers and think, gee, I never realised how many holes my undies had. And you throw them out. For the first time you've seen. That's what God is like in our lives. He transforms our mind and then we can see. This drawer needs change. This drawer needs change. This drawer needs change. One drawer at a time. Going through those parts of our life that are ungodly and unholy and with a new mind, sorting through those old attitudes. And replacing them with new, one at a time. And I think that's where Paul wants to take us now, is on a journey to think about just four of those things. We're going to look at three today. I've skipped out the one on stealing. So if you are a thief, then please go back and read that, because we all are. Steal, copyright, break copyright, software, all that sort of stuff. Let's have a look at what three of the things that Paul talks about in terms of going through our drawers, going through our clothing cupboards, and chucking out the old, putting on the new, off and on. He talks about three things: truth, anger, and speech. Truth, anger, and speech. Turn with me to verse 25. Verse 25, let's look at truth. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbour, for we are all members of one body. No more falsehood. Speak the truth in love, it says in verse 15. Wonderful verse. Speak the truth in love. We're all members of one body. Therefore, speak to each other in a truthful and loving way. If someone wrongs us, if someone treats us poorly, lovingly speak to them about it rather than harbour a grudge against them. Confess to them if you've sinned against them in order to restore that relationship. You know, I remember in the middle of all the building work that was happening here, in the midst of a great deal of change, one of the members of our church came to me and they said, "Bruce, I need to talk to you. I'm not complaining, but I have a few problems. I'm not happy with this or this or this." And we sat down and we talked. And at the end of that half hour talk, that person understood a great deal more of what was happening, and I understood a great deal more about what they were facing. And we both had to make adjustments in our life. And through that honest, loving, and truthful talk, we were able to deepen our relationship. Not just restore it or pretend that things are okay, but actually deepen our relationship. Because we had a problem that was there, and they had the courage to speak truthfully about it. How hard is that to do? To come to someone, not in anger, but to say, "Look, there's a problem. I can't ignore it. We need to talk about it." And to sit down and both be prepared to work on that relationship. That's what Paul is talking about, that ongoing, truthful relationship talk. We cannot think the way we used to think when we live without Jesus. God now comes first. Our relationship with Him and with each other through Him is first. What's paramount is maintaining and deepening those relationships. Everything we do should be to build up one another in those relationships. Honest, loving talk. Honestly open to hear. Honestly open to speak. The second thing Paul talks about is anger. In your anger, he says, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Often misinterpreted this verse, I think, talking about never go to bed angry. There's much more than that. Anger is a normal human emotion. It's something we express quite often rightly, as God does. God gets angry. If anger was sinful, then God would be a sinner, which he's not. God gets angry. He gets angry righteously at sin, at starving children, at sexual abuse, at corrupt governments. We should get angry about those things righteously too. But what does God do with that anger? He deals with it. He works through it. He resolves it. He looks forward to where it needs to take him. Without anger, you see, you get angry at starving children, then why go to bed without doing anything about it, knowing that you can? You get angry about corrupt governments, why go to bed angry about them and do nothing? Go to bed angry, but go to bed having done something about it, so the next day you can continue that battle. Don't go to bed doing nothing. And it's the same when we're angry with someone. The old self without Christ, the old self will resolve anger in a way that makes us feel good. Walk up to someone and say, "I hate you. That makes me feel much better. Thank you. Goodbye." That's dealing with anger in a way that makes us feel better. But Paul talks about us to deal in a godly way. Otherwise, we will give the devil a foothold. We will prop the door open and say to him, "I'm going to hold on to this anger, Satan. Anytime you want to walk in and push my buttons again, feel free to do it." That's what happens when we don't deal with anger. We don't resolve it. We don't say to someone, "You have angered me. You've done something that has really upset me, and I want to talk about it." in a loving, honest way. And if you want to work it out, that's great. If you don't, fine. But I've done all I can. And I'm prepared to love you and to talk truthfully with you about it. And then you'll go to bed having worked through that anger in your life, whether or not they've responded in a good way or not. What Paul doesn't want us to do is to hold on to that anger and take it nowhere. It goes with our personal problems. It also goes with those bigger issues. If you really care about starving children, do not go to bed doing nothing about it when you know you can. Let's jump down to verse 29. Number 3, Paul talks about speech. Again, going through the drawers, going through the undies, going through the socks, onto those shorts. Speech, verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Unwholesome talk is not just about bad language or swearing, it's about the content of what we say. Unwholesome talk is the content. See, the new self that we are in Christ is about being part of a new community, the body of Christ. That's what we're part of. We are to only speak words that build others up according to their needs. Slander, malice, gossip, all these sort of ways of speaking, that's the old way. The old self. We've put that off. The new self, again, it's not about making us feel better about ourselves. The new self is about building others up. So here's a great question to ask. This is a question I've come up with out of reading this passage. This is what I want to ask myself when I'm going to speak. Is what I'm about to say going to build this person up according to their needs? I think often when we speak, we want to build ourselves up according to our needs. I'm feeling down at the moment, so I'm going to speak in a way that will make me feel better. So ask that question, is what I'm about to say going to build this person up, and here's the second part, it's very important, according to their needs? Not, will it build them up according to my needs? Will it build them up according to their needs? So I'm going to talk to Nick. Is this going to build him up according to his needs? Well, what are his needs? Do I know his needs? Does he need encouragement? Does he need rebuke? Is he arrogant? Is he proud? Is he humble? How do I need to speak to him that will build him up according to his needs? That means I need to know him. I need to know his needs. Because we live in a community, we're part of the same body. I care about that. And so I might have an anger issue to resolve with him. How do I speak in a way that will build him up according to his needs? You have, can I use you as an example? Is that all right? You've angered me, you've done something that's really upset me. But you're such an encouraging person, a humble person, I know you didn't do it intentionally. Let's talk about it. You can build someone up while expressing anger to them. If we let the Spirit work in our life to choose our words. You are a wonderful encourager, but you've hurt me deeply. How would you feel if someone said that to you? You might feel built up and rebuked. But you want to talk about it, right? Because you can see this person loves you. Build each other up according to their needs. There's three things to think about, three drawers to go through. Truth, anger, speech. And here's where Paul's summary ties it all together. Let's jump down to verse 30. Verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Here are the options we have. We can walk in grief, or we can walk in love. I know often they go hand in hand, but when it comes to where our feet are planted, our daily heart, you can be planted in grief or planted in love. When we put aside all the bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander and malice, when we put aside that grief, we can only do that by taking hold of the new life, experiencing kindness and compassion and forgiveness. So let me ask you a few personal questions to finish with, to think about. Be honest with yourself. What is causing grief in your life? What is causing grief in your life? Who is causing grief in your life? Okay, now think about this. What grief have you caused in the lives of others? Think about those three things Paul mentioned. What lies have you told? What anger have you held on to? What destructive words have you used? Chapter 5, verse 1. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. That way of love, that way of forgiveness, is the way that releases us from the foothold that Satan has in our life. It closes the door to him. The way of love and the forgiveness that we find at the cross of Jesus releases us from the need to hold on to grief, to hold on to the things that destroy our relationships. It is only by coming to the cross of Jesus, only by experiencing and grasping his forgiveness, that we can even begin to let go of the grief that others, or maybe even God, has caused you. It's not an easy journey, and it's not a short journey, but it is a necessary one. Every day, to recognize the things that we hold on to in our life that are not helpful, like anger. To know that Jesus has forgiven every single one of your sins. And to then love others as Christ has loved us. To forgive. To let go of anger. To speak helpful words. To speak the truth. To put off grief. And take up love. That is the transplant that will change your life. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you as a great God who we know loves us deeply and cares for us in so much. Just come before you now, especially with the grief that is in our life, dishonesty that might exist in relationships with others or even with you, the anger that we've held on to or the anger that others have held on to against us, the destructive words that we've spoken into people's lives rather than building them up. And we reflect on the great forgiveness that you have offered us at the cross of Jesus. Father, we pray for that new set of lungs, that transplant that will give us that new mind to see our lives with a new perspective, that your Holy Spirit may be working in us every day to clear out those things of ungodliness and unholiness, and to put on those things that are godly and holy. Truth being spoken in love. Father, we commit our lives to you, all these things, in Jesus' name. Amen.